Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood insider, joining us right now. Michael, as always, we thank you for joining us. And as the weather cools off just a bit, people are looking for excuses to stay inside and watch some TV or maybe head on out to the movie theater to watch some of the newest flicks. And there are some pretty good ones out there. One that, well, surprised some people a little bit this weekend. Renee Zellweger's performance as Judy Garland in the film Judy debuted this weekend. What are some things that you're hearing about Renee Zellweger's performance?
Well, first of all, I think, you know, the big thing here that has really been coming out of every review is that this is a major comeback for her, has her as an early Oscar front runner. So I think there's a lot going on with this movie. It's an adaptation of the Tony-nominated play End of the Rainbow, and it's set in 1969 and follows Judy Garland when she gets to London for a five-week run of sold-out shows while she's struggling with depression, alcoholism, and substance abuse. And for the most part, the movie has gotten pretty positive reviews. It's about 84% on Rotten Tomatoes and has an A-minus cinema score from the people who have seen it already. But all of the praise is going to Renee Zellweger, and this is really our first big, buzzy award season performance that we have. She took about 6 years off of acting from 2010 to 2016 before kind of slowly coming back, and this is sort of the big sort of peak of that comeback. And everything I've heard is that she's fantastic, that she really puts on one of her best performances, that she really embodies Judy Garland very well. I will say that Liza Minnelli, Judy Garland's daughter, has said that she does not approve of the film and won't see it. So that's generally a sign that there might be a little bit more accuracy than the family is willing to admit. But, you know, we'll see what happens. It's still the very beginning of the heavy awards movie season, so there could be a lot of changes, but she's definitely the early front runner in the best actress category.
We'll get into some more box office talk here in just a moment as far as what's coming up this weekend, but sticking with this film for just a moment, I know that it wasn't available everywhere this weekend, and it seems like there will be more availability for this particular film this coming weekend. How much room do you think there is for this thing to grow as far as dollars and cents at the box office are concerned next week and the week after?
Well, I think that it might end up being kind of a slow and steady performer over the next month or two, and as we get closer to award season and the studios really want to push Renee Zellweger's performance. I don't know if it's going to be a big box office smash. I don't see it being the top doll, especially this next week with Joker premiering. But I do think that it's going to be one of those movies that just kind of continually sticks around the top three or four of the box office for a little while and probably not only makes back its budget, but makes a profit off of that, which in Hollywood is the best success story you can have, really. So I don't know if it's going to be a major, major blockbuster hit, but I do see it as a consistent award season performer for a few weeks.
Well, and it did fairly well, considering how many theaters it was available in. It did not win the weekend, though. That title belonged to Abominable. That led the way at the box office this weekend. I mean, should it be looked at as a total surprise that that led the way?
I don't think so. I think that there haven't really been a lot of major family-friendly movies out recently, and this is kind of perfectly timed in a weekend where there wasn't a major other release to kind of go up against it. So I think it was an easy pick for a lot of families to go take their kids to. But at the same time, it also had a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. It has an A cinema score from audiences that have seen it already. So lots of good buzz around it and good word of mouth, even if it's not setting the world on fire. But it only brought in about $20 million this weekend on a $75 million budget. So it kind of has a long way to go if it wants to make up that budget. And in about 2 weeks, the Addams Family animated film will come out. So it doesn't really have a lot of time to kind of hold on to that family audience. So I don't know if it has a lot of staying power, but certainly a well-timed premiere this weekend.
Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Now, having said all of that about this particular movie, Abominable, it got a little bit of play because this is an original film that did fairly well at the box office. At least it led the way. Would you say this has been a decent year for original films? And I ask that because I know we ask a lot about superhero sequels and things of that nature. That seems to get a lot of publicity and a lot of play. But this year it seems like some of these more original films are doing a little bit better.
Yeah, I think that this year we've seen a lot of big flops in franchises like Men in Black, the X-Men sequel. So there's been a lot of big franchises that have failed, and there haven't been a lot of like big budget original films that have been flops, but there's been a lot of successful sort of smaller and mid-budget films that I think have done really well at the box office and are leading to kind of a strong year. This year, there's only two original films that have surpassed $100 million at the box office, and that's Us, which had Jordan Peele behind it, and after the success of Get Out, as well as Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which had the trio of Quentin Tarantino, Leo DiCaprio, and Brad Pitt working for it. But last year, there were only three movies, original movies, that topped $100 million. The Mule, A Quiet Place, and Bohemian Rhapsody, which was a biopic. So I think that it's about on par as far as those big movies. But there's been a lot of great smaller budget films that have made a lot of money, especially compared to their budgets. You have Rocket Man, Hustlers, Yesterday, Escape Room, Crawl. These are movies that were made with mid-sized budgets, so in about the $20 to $40 million range, and it performed really well at the box office and exceeded expectations. You had a couple good mid-budget films like Little and Good Boys, a couple comedies that really did kind of decently at the box office, really sort of held their own. But you've seen a lot of success in small-budget films this year, particularly Midsommar, which quadrupled its budget in gross. You had Booksmart, which did the same. Fighting With My Family had a major box office performance after a pretty small budget, as well as the horror movie Ma, which was made for $5 million and made $60 million. So I think that what we're starting to see is that studios are more willing to spend a little bit of money on these smaller films, these $5 to $12 million films, and hope that they'll get a large investment out of it by promoting them and putting more money in there. So I don't know. I think it's interesting to see if it will be interesting to see what happens through award season, if any of those original films start to really pick up at the box office. But while I don't think the original films are doing gangbusters as far as numbers, I think that there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about the future of original films at the box office.
Well, and a lot of reason to be optimistic about what we expect will lead the way at the box office this weekend. It sure seems like it's going to belong to the Joker movie that's coming out. And boy, a lot of the previews have looked awfully intriguing. I think a lot of people are really excited about this one. I think you'll agree it would be considered a major upset if anything other than the Joker leads the way this weekend.
Absolutely. The projections so far have it making about $80 to $90 million this weekend, which would be really huge. And it's actually right now the number two film all time as far as pre-sales are concerned. So it's doing really, really well leading up to it. It's had a lot of buzz coming off of the rave reviews and the win at the Venice Film Festival, and then a lot of buzz surrounding Joaquin Phoenix and his performance and his on-set behavior. I think director Todd Phillips has been getting in the press a lot. De Niro has been in the press a lot. So I think there's a lot of discourse and conversation around this movie, and I think there's going to be a massive, massive audience for it. Really, the only competitor at the box office this weekend is Judy, which we talked about, but that's a completely different audience. I don't necessarily see people trying to decide between one or the other. I think anything less than $80 million opening weekend for Joker is a major disappointment, but I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen.
Did you say that this is the second highest selling pre-sale movie of all time? Is that what you said?
Second highest R-rated pre-sale movie after John Wick 3.
Holy smokes. Okay, well, it's in pretty exclusive company already then. And there's been a little bit of hype behind this thing for a couple of months, and well, I couldn't think of a better time of the year for this movie to debut also. So certainly looking forward to hearing your thoughts on that one next week. All right, we've got to ask you about this Netflix movie, El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie. Now, Breaking Bad is certainly something that resonates with a lot of people who certainly couldn't get enough of the original television series. A lot of people very, very anxious to see what's brought to the table with this. What are you hearing about this movie?
Well, we know that it stars Aaron Paul reprising his role as Jesse Pinkman, and we know that it follows Jesse in the immediate aftermath of the finale of Breaking Bad after he's escaped from the Aryan Brotherhood. And we know that he's being chased at least by law enforcement, probably the Aryan Brotherhood as well. And that's about it, which is pretty exciting if you're a big Breaking Bad fan. I think that we'll probably see a lot of crossover from the original series. We know that we're going to see the characters Skinny Pete and Badger. We saw them in trailers. It's pretty highly likely that we see Bob Odenkirk's Saul Goodman show up. Great synergy with his show Better Call Saul. And we know that Jonathan Banks, who plays Mike, has said that he's in the film as well. So I think we're going to see a lot of characters that we've been missing for a long time or have seen at least some of their early times on Better Call Saul. But really beyond that, creator Vince Gilligan has really played it close to the chest. He's kind of said that in the past that he thinks Jesse has a happy ending, but he also has been known to, kind of obfuscate what he actually is going to do. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anybody does. I know one Vegas book bookmaker is placing bets on whether or not Jesse survives the end of the film and if he ends up with a happy ending or not. And we don't even know. Maybe Bryan Cranston will show up. Apparently, according to The Hollywood Reporter, a private jet was used to shuttle a key cast member in and out of Albuquerque without anybody noticing. So I don't know. I like kind of the mystery that we don't really know what's going to happen. I think after the 6 years that the show has been off, we've built a lot of anticipation to see what happens to Jesse. And I think it's pretty great that they have given us so little information and just sort of been able to build the excitement off of the mystery that we've held on to for so long.
And isn't it wild, too, that in this day and age where everything seems to be available at every hour of the day, this thing was kind of kept pretty quiet for a while, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was. I think that there was a little bit of news when it was being made because it was kind of unavoidable to spoil some of the deals that were made for it. But it's pretty impressive that this whole thing has really remained under wraps. And it wasn't until the trailer dropped during the Emmys that we even knew when it was coming out. So it's a short window for us to get excited for a very big project. And I think that really helps. Certainly the promotion, but definitely the excitement to watch it as well.
Good stuff. Well, Michael, before we let you go, we've got to get this week's picks to click. We've talked a lot about the movies that are coming up this weekend, primarily The Joker, but what other picks to click do you have for us this weekend?
Well, a couple of Netflix favorites are coming back this weekend. First, there's season 5 of Peaky Blinders, if you enjoy the Irish mobster drama. That comes back for its 5th season. And the animated puberty comedy Big Mouth returns for its 3rd season, which will certainly be a quick binge. And then on Sunday night, the final season of Mr. Robot premieres on USA. See new Oscar winner Rami Malek cap off his career-making role as Elliot and see what happens in this final season.
You a big fan of Big Mouth? I saw a couple previews, thought it was kind of funny, never really got around to watching it, but are you a fan of that one?
It's a show that took me a long time to come around to and actually took me even a few episodes to get into. But once it sort of developed its voice and figured itself out, it's very funny and has a lot more heart than you would think that it should.
Okay, yeah, it's in my queue right now. I just can't seem to bring myself around to watching it just yet. But I've heard some mixed reactions when that comes up in conversations. But, Michael, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Sounds good.